Open your Bibles to chapter 27 again, and 29. Where am I? Let's pray. Holy Father, we are so blessed. We're so blessed to know that you speak to us as your children, as your friends, as your people. And Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to your word and that we would heed your words when you talk about peer pressure. Help us to be strong and, as we learned last week, bold as a lion in our faith, to hold on to those things that we know that are true. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what do you guys think when you hear of the word pressure? Ian? What does the word pressure mean? Are you feeling pressured? Yeah, it's like you're being pressed from an outward force. It's like you're being exerted. You know, if you blow up a balloon and you add too much pressure, what happens? Boom, it explodes. If your water pipes have too much pressure, what happens? They explode. And so Dictionary Online defines it: exertion of force upon a surface by an object in contact with it, the pressure of earth against a wall. It's pushing out. And so we all face pressure in life. And we all face peer pressure. You face peer pressure in school. I could face peer pressure at work. You could feel peer pressure at church. I could feel peer pressure at work. We feel peer pressure by the advertisements we see on TV. We're being pressured to conform to some kind of thing. And so we face peer pressure. And I Googled the word peer pressure, and I found the lyrics of these two songs by these two artists. One is a rap artist by the name, and I don't know if any of you have. But I did notice on his record it had that parental warning. So he's not Mr. Wholesome. And his name is Pretty Ricky. And he has a song called Peer Pressure. And he says, "Can I put a little peer pressure on you? Are you ready? Because I'm ready. Can I put a little peer pressure on you? Because you know you want it, and I need it." And the song goes on about, it's a song about his girlfriend, basically. It's being pressured. And then I heard, found the lyrics of another band called Head P, and they had the following lyrics. They're kind of a band out of California, kind of a punk rap group. And this is pretty much what you guys face sometimes. "I don't want to do it, come on, come on. I don't want to do it, come on, come on. I don't want to do it, come on, come on. All these kids are doing it. Peer pressure, peer pressure, peer pressure. All day long, peer pressure. I don't want to drink, come on, come on. I don't want to smoke, come on, come on. All the kids are doing it." And, you know, we're faced with peer pressure. You didn't think I could sing that good, did you? You're going, "No." You'll never make it past Simon Cowell. And so, and this morning's about, as we said, this message is about peer pressure. But why do you think God warns us about peer pressure? Why does God talk about peer pressure? It's a very obvious answer. It's because we can be weak to it. All humans are. You know, the things that God talks about is because that's the weakness in the human nature. You know, all of us want to be liked. All of us want to fit in. And it's difficult when you feel like, I don't fit in anywhere. And so you find a crowd, well, we don't exactly fit anywhere. And we just don't like the way things are going. And we're going to do these certain things. And come on, come on, and join us. And you conform to that, what that group's value is. And it doesn't matter which group you are in school, you all conform to some kind of peer pressure. You know, when I was a kid in school, we had the freaks. You know, those are the kids who did drugs. And then we had the jocks. And those were the athletes. And then, I don't know what they called the kids, the schoolboys and schoolgirls, kids who did their schoolwork or did well in school. And, you know, and then you had all sorts of groups in between. But you are forced to conform what that group wants you to be like. But here you are on Sunday morning at church, and the question is, do you live in two worlds? Are you living one way here at church, and then when you go to school, you're living another way? And I know the struggle can be difficult, because I have a human nature just like you. And so we're going to look at things that God says about peer pressure. First, you know, peer pressure can be negative, but it also can be positive, right? Sure, you hang out with a good group of kids, keep you out of trouble. You guys hopefully keep your noses clean at Madison, keep each other accountable, you know, especially if you're a Christian, you know, meet other Christian friends, and we'll talk about those things. But peer pressure can be negative and destructive, and peer pressure can be positive. And so let's look at those things. First thing, we're going to look in Proverbs chapter 29. We're going to only look at one verse, and then we're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Now, I got to find my place. And let's look at verse 1, or verse 25 of Proverbs 29. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. First of all, we're going to look at the first part of this verse. The fear of man is a snare. I would say that's negative peer pressure. The fear of man. Well, what if they don't dig me? What if they don't think I'm cool? What if they... And nobody likes being made fun of. You know, I mean, everybody wants to fit in to some certain degree. Nobody doesn't want to be ridiculed. Nobody doesn't want to be known as uncool. And you know, I think all you guys are cool, by the way. So you don't have to put up an attitude or anything. But here, God is giving godly advice. God is giving fatherly advice to his children. And here he says, you know, son, you know, daughter, the fear of man or the fear of fitting in is a snare. And you know what a snare is, right? It's a trap. They used to use snares to catch birds and they'd get the birds and take the feathers off. And that's how they came up with chicken nuggets. And so they would make food. It was a death trap. And that's what God is saying. You know, when you fear, you live in fear of trying to conform to some person, it's a death trap. He's concerned, God is concerned about people who influence you. And what God wants is people after his own heart to influence us. He wants us, he's warning us of consequences of fearing man more than him. Now, as I said, a snare is a death trap. And you know, peer pressure can drive you to do wrong things. You know, I think about all the kids that I went to school with, and they were in the wrong group. They were smoking dope. They were drinking. They were doing all these things they shouldn't have been doing. And you see where their lives are now. And I see that with, you know, some folks in my family that followed a path like that, and it led to destruction. And sometimes literally their destruction. I know of a guy, his name was Gilbert, too, and he was a great athlete. He was like one of the most popular guys in junior high, and he was a baseball star. He was played football. He was funny. He was smart. But somehow he got himself into the wrong group doing drugs, and he got to a point where he lost his faculties. He fried his brains. And the last time I saw him, you know, he's walking around like a homeless person. And, you know, I have a friend of mine that I went to high school with. And he was a musician. And, you know, one of the things he told me before he went on the road, I won't do drugs and stuff. And the guy's an alcoholic. And at one time, homeless. And, you know, count the cost of the path that you're going to go. You know, the truth of the matter is, if you're a hardcore believer and you have hardcore believer friends, you'll probably be lifetime friends. But if you're just a nominal Christian and you hang out with people who are nominal in their faith maybe or don't believe at all, you're not going to have those same friends. You're going to go two different directions. You know, one direction, you know, so be careful who the people you hang out with. You know, character does matter. And so God is concerned about those things. And so sometimes we live in fear of people, you know, it's like that DC Talk song, what will people say, what will people think if they find out I'm a Jesus freak? You know, the fact of the matter is you should not be ashamed of the gospel, ashamed that you're a believer. But as we learned last week, the righteous are bold as a lion. Be bold about your faith. I didn't say be obnoxious, but I said be bold in your faith. Be not ashamed that you belong to Christ. Because Jesus simply said, he says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. You know, be bold in your faith. And really, you want God to be the greatest influence on you. And so here we got a godly advice. Now, turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 5 through 8. And Jeremiah is a rite of Proverbs. It's rite of Proverbs. It is the second book. You'll see Isaiah, then it'll be Jeremiah. I like what God always tells us how he feels. Tell us how you feel, Father. Okay. All right. That doesn't make sense. Am I in the right chapter? Oh, I'm sorry. That's supposed to be Jeremiah 17. I even have it wrong in my notes. Sorry. Yeah. So Jeremiah 29. Although that's a good chapter. There's a great verse in there to memorize. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Wow. What? Whose heart, or cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and the salt land which is not inhabited. First of all, here God is giving an explanation of why you don't trust in man, why you're so cursed. Now, first of all, God is teaching you that when you put your trust just in human beings, it's like being cursed. Now, and what that means is that you can't put all your hope in a human being. Why do you think? Because human beings are fallible. Have your parents ever disappointed you? Made you upset? Yeah. Have you ever got mad at him? Yeah. But God is saying is if when you put your trust in me, you will always have hope in this life. People will let you down. People will upset you. But God is constant. God doesn't change. His love for you and his faithfulness is always the same. He said, notice also he says, do not put your hope in the strength of men, you know. And, you know, as kids, it's so natural. And I'm not going to say it's completely wrong. But as kids, you know, we put a lot of hope and trust in our parents. We have that. Yeah, and it's great if you're secure in your family. Because that's a little bit of a taste of what your relationship with God is. But God is more trustworthy than your parents. You know, and I would tell my kids that, you know, your hope is in God. You know, I'll tell my daughters I love them and I care for them and I love them deeper than I can ever imagine, but God is greater than me. And so put your hope in that. And also, notice what it says, do not place your hope in where? Your flesh. See, some of you guys are very clever, very capable, very skilled. And as you get older, you're going to find, wow, I'm very gifted at doing things. And God says, don't even put your hope in that. Well, I believe in myself. Well, that's good you have confidence in yourself. But recognize that it's God that gave you those abilities. Recognize that God has created you the person that you are. But you don't put your hope in those things. You put your hope in God. And finally, he says, who heart departs from the Lord. You know, guys, as you get older and that peer pressure's on, stay close to Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. Because as you get older, there's going to be more and more pressures. You know, we talked about this the other day. Our emotions, they're so deceptive. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it, the Bible says. You know, all those Disney movies that tell you that to follow your heart, it's a lie, okay? It's a lie. That is a lie because our heart is deceitful. And so, well, then what do I do? Well, understand God's word. Start reading God's word. Keep going to church. Hear Bible studies. Pray about things. Take it up to him. And God will give you direction. Believe me, he will. You know, I've been walking with the Lord for 20 years. And I am so blown away about how faithful God is and how he's always led my paths. You know, I mean, it's mind-boggling. You know, and I hope you guys have the hindsight to be able to see how God's hand has been on your life. First of all, were you born in a Christian family? Pretty much, yeah. You're here. You think that was by mistake? No. Don't take that for granted. Do you think that, you know, certain events happen in your life by mistake, and sometimes they could be so horrendous, you think, oh, how is any good? How can God love me? How can God do this? But God is using that to mold you and shape you into the person that you're going to be. See, right now you're young, and God is molding and shaping you, and he's using your parents' hands to do it. You know, and that's the amazing thing, that God is using, you know, me to help and mold and shape my daughters, and you know, and that's scary. But he is. And God is using people in your life to mold and shape you. But he wants you to be aware of staying away from negative peer pressure. And know that God has his hand on your life. Now let's look at the consequences of you trusting in man. God says it's a curse, and these are the consequences. Look at verse 4. You shall be like a shrub. Now, what's a shrub? Gilbert, what's a shrub? And you got to remember where they're at. They're out in the desert. You know, the shrub is that one bush in the middle, sand built around it. It's all by itself. It can be like a tumbleweed, you know? You're a tumbleweed. You know, that doesn't sound appealing, does it? Even the word a shrub. It's just a shrub. What's that?
They're not always off by themselves.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, you're a shrub. And so, the thing about shrubs, not all of them yield fruit, and they're not very good for shade. You know, have you ever seen somebody who's trying to get out of the hot sun, you know, laying in a little shrub? They're looking for a tree, you know. I used to live in Palm Springs, and we see these shrubs, you know, all the just trash is piled around them, and it wasn't very good shade. And you know what? And they're crazy about palm trees over there. Those are the worst shade trees ever. They don't give much shade. But anyway. Also, notice, you'll be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. You'll be blinded to God's blessings. You know, a lot of people are blinded to God's blessings. You know, one of the condemnations that God has against the world in Romans, it says they were neither thankful to God. They didn't worship the Creator, and they weren't thankful. And so when you're so tied up into yourself or into your peer group, your posse, whatever you want to call it, you miss God's blessings. You're not even thankful for it. And notice this, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. No rain, no moisture, just dry. In a salt land which is not inhabited by, you know, by the Dead Sea. You know, the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea because why? Yeah, because it's dead. Because there's no outflow in that sea. You know, it's interesting, the Sea of Galilee is north of the Dead Sea, and it has an inlet and an outlet, and the Dead Sea only has an inlet. So what happens if you're a person who just only receives, who only gets, and never gives? You'll be like the Dead Sea. You'll be totally selfish, self-centered. I mean, we have great examples that go across the screens of our internet of people who are so self-indulged, you know, and I hate to pick on her, but she's our example lately is Britney Spears. She's so into herself, she's destroying herself. And God didn't create us to be that way. Jesus said, if you want to find life, he says, lose it. Drop dead. Die. Huh? You mean kill myself? No. That means quit living for yourself and start being others-centered. Start saying, how can I bless somebody today? Have you ever thought about that? How can I be a blessing to somebody today? Yeah. Think about that this week. How can I be a blessing? And, you know, for you, most of you, it's your family. How can I be a blessing to my family? You know, and for some of you, if you do that, you probably would give your parents a heart attack or something. And you're going, what happened to you? But be a blessing to somebody. You know, Jesus, every time he went into the synagogue, that was his goal. Do you remember the stories in the gospel? He was always looking around to bless somebody. Hey, there's a man over there with a withered hand. And he goes there, stick out your hand. I mean, he was bold. But I guess him being God, he could do that. You know, I would never say, stick out your hand to somebody who's crippled. I wouldn't want to embarrass him, but you know, he's God, he can heal. And that person, can you imagine how probably turned very red, embarrassed? You know, maybe fearful, thinking maybe he's going to ridicule me. Because a lot of times people in that time thought if you were crippled or maimed, it's because you were a sinner. Because you did something wrong. And that's even still being taught today. It's nonsense. And that person stuck his hand out and Jesus healed them. Right there. He was looking to bless people. And you be a person of blessing. And so, you live in that parched place which shall be inhabited. The thing is that you don't want to do is when you put your trust in ungodly things and you're following negative peer pressure, you're going to be useless to the kingdom of God. And God wants you not to be useless. He wants you to seek first the kingdom of God. And all of you are useful to the kingdom of God at whatever age and stage you are in your life. You know, I heard of a story about this church. It was a long time ago. And they had this church member who, she became very ill and she had to stay in bed. She couldn't go to church, but, you know, she was so distraught about that because she was a dear believer in the Lord. And so she thought, you know, I'm going to make my life a prayer ministry. And so she prayed. Well, one day she saw the newspaper about this American evangelist, and his name escapes me, he'll come back. But anyway, he was a very famous evangelist, and people would get saved under his ministry, like, oh, get out. And well, this lady lived in England. And so she started praying, God, bring this evangelist to our church so we can start revival. And so she prayed for this for years. And finally, one day, this evangelist came to her church. And he came to the church, and her sister came to see her sister and said, oh, so-and-so from America came to our church. And she goes, really? And she said, he's going to speak that evening. He's going to have an evangelistic meeting. Well, the problem with that church, they were dead. And so this woman, she says, you know, don't bother me all day. Don't bring me food. I'm going to fast and pray. And that evening, they had the greatest revival in that church has ever had because this woman committed herself to pray, to be involved in the kingdom of God. And so all of you are useful in the kingdom of God in very different ways. You know who the most anointed person in this church? I bet you don't know who it is. Pastor Skip. Well, he is very gifted. But it is the custodian who does his work unto the Lord. Because he's the servant of all. He's the least noticed. He does it because he loves Jesus. He cleans up all our messes. And he does it joyfully unto God. That's pretty anointed. Jesus says the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. We can at least do that, right? Doesn't take much. Just, Lord, I'm doing this to you, for you. I'm washing dishes for mom, for you. I'm going to bless my mom for the glory of God by being helpful around the house. Wow, you're helping building up the kingdom of God. You guys all have mouths, and I've seen you use them. You can use it to encourage somebody, right? You know, something's going on in the family, and you can say, oh, mom, this is terrible, but I'm going to pray about it because I know God can do it. Your faith can increase other people's faith. Be involved in the kingdom of God. Well, we saw that the fear of man is a snare, and that's negative peer pressure. Let's look at the fear of Lord is secure and positive peer pressure. Well, back to Proverbs. You don't have to turn it. I'll just read it to you. It said, the fear of man is a snare. And then as you learned in Proverbs, there's always that comma and a but, a contrast to saying, here's this truth, but check out this truth. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. They shall be secure. Security and joy comes by trusting in God. You want to be happy? Trust God. You want security? Trust God. You know, it's not saying that things won't happen, But what God is saying is, you can always trust me no matter what happens. No matter what happens. Because tragedy does happen in the kingdom of God. People die. People get sick. A few years ago, we had a dear brother who was murdered over here. That does happen. But we can trust God in those circumstances. We can trust that he has his hand upon it to bring us through. That is the joy and the security. As I said earlier, I think back in the past 20 years as I walked with the Lord, how he has closed doors in my life and opened up another door and blessed me over and over again. I mean, I'm just mind-boggled. And as I was telling Sam, a couple weeks ago, out of the blue, I get this job offer. And I'm like, huh? And, they ask, what will it take for you to go? And I just said what my requirements were, and they accepted it. I was like, and, the whole reason that I would make this move is for the benefit of my daughter, because I'd like to send them, when they get to mid-high, to a Christian school. They'll be able to afford that. And I look back when my wife and I first got pregnant, and she wanted to take a year off from work and not work. God made it affordable for us. We prayed about it, and he opened the doors. And, God will always be opening doors for you so that you can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. He always has your back, and he's always faithful. He won't let you down. He won't let you down. And so that's his advice. Now, let's look back at Jeremiah. Last time we left, in verse 7, it says, blessed is the man whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Notice that. Instead of being a shrub, you're a tree. I think I'd rather be a tree. You're planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. Oh my gosh, you're fearless people. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Wow, how does that compare those two things? How does that sound? Does that sound pretty good? Do you want to be a shrub in the parched desert, or do you want to be a tree planted by living waters? And all it is a matter of faith, trust. It's not like you have to work hard for it. It's a matter of saying, Lord, I'm going to put my trust and hope in you, and not put my hope and trust in my strength and my flesh or what man can do. I don't want to be a shrub in the desert. I want to be a tree planted by the living waters. That sounds good. You guys like to climb trees? Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? It's great. But we don't like raking leaves, do we? It's okay. As long as you got some, like a Walkman on or something, MP3 player. But, so, his explanation, the reason why you want to trust God is, you shall be strong like a tree. And notice it says its roots, which spreads out its roots by the river. A strong tree has deep roots of faith. Deep roots of faith is trusting God no matter what the circumstances are. Putting your hope in Christ no matter what. When it seems hopeless, you're hoping in God. Your hope is in him. Notice this strong tree is, let's find it, and will not fear when heat comes. It's a fearless tree. That's pretty cool. To be able to have enough faith not to be fearless no matter what happens. That's awesome, isn't it? because you have your faith and hope are in Christ. No matter what happens, you say, well, Jesus, you have a plan for this. And help me to see it eventually. And notice, let's read on. He comes, but its leaf will be green and will be not anxious in the year of drought. That describes our life. We have years of green blessings and there's years of drought. And what happens in the years of drought? What does a tree do when there's not enough water? Which direction does its roots go? Down, because moisture goes down, deep, trying to hit that groundwater. And when a tree has deep roots, it can't be upended by the wind. And so, we will be a blessing to those around us. You'll never cease yielding fruit. See, God has created you to be fruitful people. Fruitful? What does that mean? That means he's created you to be a blessing. When you're a blessing to somebody, that's fruit. When you're loving and kind, that's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Peace, joy, love. That's fruit. And we produce fruit by our faith. See, God doesn't make it super duper difficult. And see, God may have you give you the faith to do big ventures of faith. You know, some of you may decide, I want to be a missionary and I'm going to go someplace out of my comfort zone and be a blessing to those people. Some of you may say, you know, I want to go to the school of ministry and see what God has. I like adventure. You know, if you like adventure, being a Christian is the best place to be. I like being a Christian. I went to the school of ministry, and at the end of the year, we had this retreat up in Taos, and we went whitewater rafting. And so we got in the boat, and we're going down the river, and we all have our oars, and we're supposed to do stuff. Well, I fell out of the raft, and that's what I liken being a believer. It's like being in the rapids. When you allow God to have control of your life, you have no control. The water takes you where it wills. God takes you where he wills. And it is an adventure. It's a blessing. It's like, wow, God, I didn't know this was going to happen. I would have never predicted my life would have turned out how it is now, and it's been awesome. And God wants to do the same for you. You don't know what it's going to be, but God will take you. But one thing you'll be able to see if you pray and just is that you'll see his fingerprints on your life. You'll see, that was you, wasn't it, Lord? Yeah. You did that. Yeah. And God will do that for you. And the first fingerprint you ought to notice and acknowledge is, whose family were you born in? I was born in a church-going family. That's God's handiwork. That's his blessings. That's something to rejoice in. You got great parents? Oh, man, that's a blessing from God. Did he love Jesus? Oh, man, that was by no mistake. Rejoice in that. And so, you'll be a blessing to around those. And now, let's talk about positive peer pressure. How do we deal with positive peer pressure? First of all, recognize one thing. You have a brother you have a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know who that is? Jesus. The Bible says Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Hang out with the Lord. Isn't that the greatest influence that you can ever have is God himself? Devote yourself to prayer, reading the word, coming to church, blessing other people. That's going to be a positive influence. Second is, when you do that, your Heavenly Father reminds us not to be conformed to this world, but to be renewed or transformed by the renewing of our minds. See, You know, the world wants to transform us into a certain image. And it's not necessarily a very wholesome image. I don't think the influence of, you know, when I was younger, it was Madonna was a good positive role. Especially for your ladies. Be careful of the ladies who become your role model. Hopefully it's godly women. Because, you know, unfortunately, God has a higher view of women than what women portray of themselves. You know, it seems like Hollywood portrays women to be a bunch of floozies. And you're greater than that. And so are you guys. You're greater than, you know, I'm the macho guy. I can, you know, be a man of God. Be fearless in your faith. But also, with positive peer pressure, find good Bible-believing Christian friends at church. Your friends are important to God. And he wants you to be around people who have the same values, to keep you accountable. To say, you know, when you're messing up or you're tempted, your friend can punch you in the arm and say, hey, man, get a grip. Shake it off. Or you're going through a situation and it's painful, you can get with your friend and you can pray together about it. Have you guys got to that maturity level where you pray for other people? Do that. You know, you guys are good friends. I hope you hang out and pray for each other. Keep each other accountable, because you'll both grow strong in the Lord that way. And, you know, and Ian and Keaton. You know, and if you guys have friends in the body, you know, bond to them. Be a good influence to each other. Encourage each other in the faith. It's so important. So, in conclusion, peer pressure can be negative or it can be positive. And as believers, let's look for positive peer pressure and let us be a positive influence on other believers, right? Think of yourself, how can I bless my friend? How can I be in a positive influence? How can I bless my family? How can I make a difference? All of you can. And let's devote ourselves to God in word and prayer and allow him to transform our hearts. And let's walk by faith, by living for him. And finally, let's hang out with Bible-believing friends. And you know, guys, let's not be so clicky, okay? Accept everybody. You know, one of the most carnal things about believers is that we have, sometimes we're judgmental about how people appear. Let's get past that and be like Jesus. You know, unfortunately, if Jesus came into this room, we probably would ignore him. He's homeless? Can you imagine that? There's a line in the song that says, the hope of the world lies on the shoulders of a homeless man. Wait a minute, that doesn't fit my Jesus. But it's true. Jesus says, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And he did it for you. He did it for you. Let's pray. Holy Father, we are so grateful that you are a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You have promised us that you would never leave us or forsake us. And I pray, Lord, that you would raise us up to be blessing to other people, to be a positive peer pressure, a positive influence to those around us in our family, and at school, with our friends, with our relatives. Oh God, I pray that we would be people who delight to do your will. I ask, Father, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that your power would be so evident in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you give us hindsight to see where you have placed your hand upon our lives as we walk forward with you. We are so grateful and we are blessed to be your children. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, all right, put away your Bibles, you're done.